We are studying the grace of God day by day on the Gospel Hour, and we'll continue this series after I pray. Lead us, guide us, and direct us, Heavenly Father, as we open Thy Word to study today. I realize that my words will never reach men for Jesus, but Thy Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, honor the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bear the message home to the heart and hearts that need salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. We read in John 1:17, the law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was and is the grace of God brought down to man. We read in John 1:14, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, that Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, was full of grace and full of truth. Now, we are saved by God's grace, and the truth brings to us the message of grace, and when we receive the truth makes us free. The grace of God saves us, and John 8:36 declares, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. On the last broadcast, I said we would begin tracing the devil's attempt to stop the grace of God. But we will not begin that today because I have studied further and I see some things that I need to point out today, maybe tomorrow, and then I'll show you how Satan turned all the powers of hell and all the forces of the underworld loose to stop the grace of God, but he could not because God is almighty. Now, in Genesis, we have the record of the first sin. Of course, we have the record of the creation of Adam, and then we have the record of Adam's sin. Now, the thing that I'd like to point out today, God's grace is not bestowed in measure. That is, it does not take more of the grace of God to save an alcoholic than it does a 6 or 7 or 8 year old child who doesn't know the meaning of the word alcohol. It doesn't take any more of the grace of God to save a murderer than it does to save a little girl that has reached the age of accountability. Now, what was it that caused Adam to die spiritually and to become a sinner? What was it? We read in Genesis chapter 2 that God created Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, that is Genesis 2:7. And, of course, we read further that the Lord God created Adam in his own image. And then God planted a garden, and he put Adam in the garden. And in Genesis 2:16 we read, and the Lord God commanded the man. Now notice, the Lord God commanded the man. He didn't suggest, he made a command, or he gave a command to Adam. He commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I think you'll agree that the words of Almighty God were clear and plain and understandable. And so is God's word to you and to me. Now, let me point out, Adam did not get drunk. Adam did not take God's name in vain. Adam did not steal anything. Adam was not a gambler, he was not a liar, he was not a thief. Now, the reason I'm using this precious, valuable time on the Gospel Hour to make these statements is this, the reason I'm doing it. So many people think that this man is a great sinner because he's a drunkard. This woman is a great sinner because she is an alcoholic. This man is a great sinner because he's a habitual gambler, and so on. Beloved, in the sight of God, all men are sinners. Now hear me well and listen carefully. In the sight of Almighty God, all men are dead in trespasses and in sins until they receive the grace of God. And when they receive the grace of God, they are saved by God's grace. And it doesn't take any more grace to save an alcoholic than it does a little child. Now let me go a step further. We read in the newspapers, in fact, I have a message in print on those who have great testimonies. Now, it's true that I have my life story in print, but I do not give my life story in public meetings. I do not. It is printed, and those who wish to read it may read it, but I do not give my life story in services and revivals or anywhere else. There was a time in the first days of my ministry when I would give my life story in the meetings, but I felt convicted in my heart, and I put it in print, and I said, there it is if you want to read it, but I have never given it in public sense. I have my own convictions about it. Now, the reason I said that is to say this. I said, it takes no more of the grace of God to save a drunkard, an alcoholic, a doper, a liar, a thief, than it does a child that has reached the age of accountability. Now, I go further and I make this statement. In the sight of God Almighty, there is no such thing as ordinary conversions, then greater conversions, and extraordinary or great conversions. You say he had such a tremendous experience. He didn't have any greater experience than I did, and I didn't have any greater experience than you did. Now hear me, please. Listen to me very carefully. The grace of God saves, and when God saves, that's the greatest miracle since the virgin birth of Jesus. There has been no greater miracle. You may walk out to a cemetery, and you may walk to a new grave, and you may say, come forth, and the corpse in the casket may come forth. But that is not as great a miracle as the new birth. There is nothing known to man. There is nothing on the face of this earth. There has been no miracle since the virgin birth as great as the new birth. Now, I'll tell you why, as we go on day by day studying the grace of God, I'll tell you why I make that statement. Now, listen carefully. You say he had a great testimony, a great conversion. He has a great experience to give. If he is saved, he is saved exactly as I was saved. He or she, as the case may be, is saved, or they were saved, exactly as a little child is saved. Now, the sin that damns the drunkard is the same sin that would cause a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old child to be eternally lost. And I don't even like to think about children going to hell. I don't. It makes me shudder to think about precious little children being brought up in spiritual ignorance and ungodliness. When I'm traveling on Sunday morning to church or to a Sunday school, and I see precious little babies, I mean by that, little boys and girls, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, out playing on Sunday morning. And of course, little children, it's the nature of little children to play Sunday, Monday, or any other day. But when I see little fellows out in the yard playing when they should be in Sunday school, it always gives me a sad, sick feeling in my soul. And I say, oh God, should I stop and try to get them to go with me to Sunday school? You know, I tell you, I'm not trying to dodge my responsibility, but beloved, oh God, give us Sunday school teachers, and give us Sunday schools, and give us men and women in the churches that'll go out in the highways and hedges and round up these precious little ones and get them in Sunday school. God, give us churches that'll buy buses, and we do have, and don't misunderstand me, we do have churches, yes we do, but God, give us more churches, and God, give us more buses, and God, give us more daddies to drive those buses, and God, give us more mothers that'll go out in the highways and hedges and enroll these little children to get on the bus and go to Sunday school. There are many daddies and many mothers that do not care for their children. God, help us to care for them, and God, help us to go after them. Now, I got off on the little child there, and I couldn't help it. It grieves me. It makes me sick in my soul when I see little fellows being neglected and brought up in spiritual ignorance. Now, here's what I want you to see. Adam committed the same sin that you have committed if you're a sinner. Now, what do I mean? All right, God said, Adam, I command you to eat freely. Eat all you want, when you want it, as often as you want it, as much as you want. I command you. The Lord God commanded. I'm reading Genesis 2:16. Commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Just eat freely, all you want, as often as you want. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. That is a direct command. Thou shalt not. Now, some people think all the commandments we have are in the 20th chapter of Exodus, the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments are the law of Moses, part of the law. Of course, we have the ceremonial law along with the Ten Commandments, but this Bible is filled with commandments from Genesis to Revelation. Now, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. But I warn you, you'd better listen to the command of God when He says through His Son Jesus, you must be born again. Believe, that's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say if you feel like it or if you think it's proper. He said believe. And if you do not believe, you are condemned. You're condemned already. Now, what do we have? God said of the tree of the good, the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not. For the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Definitely, positively, clearly understood. All right? What happened? Now, I cannot, we'd spend days, we could spend a month right here. But the serpent entered the garden. And this serpent was not the snake that we know today. This serpent walked upright. That is, God cursed him and said, on your belly. And we won't go into that. That's over a little bit further. But the serpent that came into the garden stood upright and walked and talked. Oh, yes, he talked. I believe the Bible. I don't care what you believe. Doesn't make any difference what your professor said. It doesn't matter what your professor said. This serpent talked to Eve. And the serpent said to the woman, hath God said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, that's the first question in your Bible, and it's there because of the devil. God is not the author of the question mark. God is the author of the exclamation point. So the devil puts the first question in the Bible. That is the result of the devil. He asked the question. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the trees in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I'm not going into that. I don't have time. I've gone into it before on the radio. But Eve did not say to Satan what God said to Adam. And if you read the chapter 2, the command, you'll see that she didn't. But the serpent said unto the woman. Now, do you believe the Bible? The serpent said to the woman. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. I believe the serpent talked. You say, I never heard that before. Well, it's in the Bible. Why shouldn't I believe it? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, I want to show you something. For God doth know the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, God said, Adam, I command you to eat freely of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now he said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now God said, you eat, you die. The devil said, Eve, you eat, you will not die. Now that's what he said. Thou shalt, ye shall not surely die. Now that's in Genesis 3:4. Genesis 3 and verse 4. In Genesis 2 and verse 17, God said, thou shalt surely die. The day you eat, in the day that you eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that's a clear, positive statement. God made it in Genesis 2:17. The devil said in Genesis 3:4, ye shall not surely die. All right. Now, when the woman saw the tree, good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you say, preacher, what kind of a conversation do you think went on between Adam and Eve before he ate the fruit? I don't know. It's not recorded. God did not see fit to give us the record of what Eve said to Adam. And frankly, I think, I don't know, but I think that Adam heard everything the devil said. I think he did. I believe there is no reason for me to believe that Adam was gone to the city that day because there wasn't a city to go to. And I don't believe he'd gone to the grocery store because there were no grocery stores. And I don't think he'd gone to the post office because there was no post office. Adam was standing right beside Eve. And he heard every word the devil said. Now, I don't know whether Adam said anything to Eve or Eve said anything to Adam. If they did, it is not recorded, but I do know this. I do know this. Adam believed the devil and did not believe God. God said, you'll die. The devil said, you're not going to die. Adam believed the devil and he ate the forbidden fruit. He broke the command of God, and he died. He died the instant he ate the fruit. He died spiritually. Now hear me, please, and hear me well. The split second that Adam ate the fruit, he was alienated from God. Up to that moment, he had had perfect fellowship with God. He was created in the image of God. That is, he had the ability to fellowship with God. God fellowshiped with Adam. They had perfect harmony. Now, their fellowship is broken. Their harmony is broken. Adam is alienated from God. He is dead spiritually. And the first thing he does, he decides that he'll make a covering and hide his shame because he is afraid to face God when God comes into the garden to visit Adam. Now, what is the sin that Adam committed against God? John reveals to us in 1 John 5 the sin that Adam committed. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, and that's what Adam committed. That is, he did not believe God. God said, the day you eat, you die. And Adam didn't believe it. No, sir. Adam didn't want to die. It's proven by his ability to cover up the shame of his nakedness. He realized that something terrible had happened. He realized that in his heart, in his spirit, in his soul, he was afraid. And he set about to cover up the shame that made him afraid. So he didn't believe God. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, if you and I refuse to believe that Jesus died on the cross, buried, rose again the third day, if we refuse to believe that, then we make God a liar. Now, Adam made God a liar in that he did not believe that he would die as God clearly stated. Adam committed the sin of unbelief. And the sin of unbelief brands God a liar. And that's a crime. That's a crime. And that's the sin that'll damn every soul that burns in hell, the lake of fire, forever. Every soul that is in hell is there because of the sin of unbelief. Every soul that will plunge into hell will plunge in because of unbelief. Now, Adam didn't get drunk, but his unbelief led to drunkenness. Noah got drunk. Adam did not murder anybody, but his unbelief led to murder. I could go on and on and on. You see, Adam committed the sin that damns the soul. The sin that Jesus came to take away. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that sin is the sin of unbelief. Beloved, Adam committed the sin that will plunge your soul into hell if you are so unfortunate as to go to the lake of fire. Don't commit that sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved by God's grace this moment. Father, honor the precious word of God, the name of Jesus, and save every precious soul that is under conviction. Save every soul that realizes the need of a Savior. This moment, we ask it in Jesus' name, through His blood, and for His sake. Amen.